Good morning again. As I mentioned before, I'm really delighted to be with you this morning, and especially now that I've been able to worship with you with this beautiful music and this gorgeous sanctuary, I feel lucky. So thank you for welcoming me today. I must say, while my ordination, my clergy orders, are not through the Disciples of Christ, I grew up all my youth group years in a Disciples of Christ church, First Christian Church of Port Arthur, Texas. First Christian Church of Port Arthur, Texas, many years after I had long since moved away, when they heard that I was called to seminary, they helped fund my theological education and put me and many others through seminary. It was a calling that their church family felt. So when I think of the Disciples of Christ tradition, I think of a great cloud of witnesses around me. And that is my entry point into coming alongside you this morning. It's a very warm regard indeed. With that said, that great cloud of witnesses image with us, let's talk about testimony. When I hear this passage from 1 John, thank you, Dallas, I hear some powerful and super confusing language in that passage. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that has testified to his Son. I feel like I need a chart. I just think, what does that mean? Are we in a testimony competition with the Lord? We receive human testimony, but God's testimony is so much better. When you share your story, it's like blah, blah, blah. But when God shares his story, it's amazing. I mean, we already get that, right? We don't have to be in a competition with God to know that God is greater still. That's like entering into a hammer throwing contest with Thor, or getting into a debate with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or a tennis match with Serena Williams. It's like, yeah, I know who's going to win this one. Let's nod and say we did. Thank you very much. If we got into an earth-creating contest, I think I know between me and God who's going to take the win. And I do get it. God is the author of all humanity, all of humanity's story. So, of course, our testimonies can seem kind of dinky, one at a time. And what's more, is God lived among us in a way that allows God to understand each and every one of us because of Christ living among us and experiencing life among us. So if God created us and authored and nurtured the goodness of all of our experiences, we know that God gets us all completely. And so, of course, God's way better than us. That's just one of many ways. So while it almost seems to me, just at first glance, that this scripture is just rubbing it in our faces, how God is cool and we are not so cool, I'm convinced there must be something else going on here besides simple bragging. Why is it so important to stop and say, God's testimony is greater? We're going to return to this in a few minutes, but first I'd like to talk about testimony as a concept in general. Let's start with some Mother's Day testimony talk. My mom is amazing. She's the best mom, of course. I could testify about my mom all day long and still not be finished. And I look around at my siblings who are mothers, my friends who are mothers, and I'm in awe of their selfless love. When I think of mothers everywhere and their sacrifices, their support, their love that is so powerful. We often compare Jesus' love to a mother's love. In the New Testament, Jesus invokes imagery from Isaiah, stating as he's on his way to Jerusalem that he loves his people like a hen loves her chicks. This unconditional mom love is so often what we use to try to grasp God's love for us. This nurturing love that makes the world go round. What an incredible testimony we have among mothers. Thanks be to God. I cannot compete with mama testimonies, I will admit to you. I'm a 35-year-old woman with no partner and no babies to speak of. There was a period of time in my Facebook feed where I saw so many photos of women again and again who were expecting children. And these photos were so beautiful, one after the other, that I really wanted to be included. The most common photo I would notice was a woman, not necessarily showing yet, who would put her hands on her tummy and face the side and look down and smile, like this. So I took a picture just like that and posted it. I call this my cookie baby. There's no life inside it, but there's a lot of cookies. So I smiled down at my tummy and I posted it just to feel like I was, you know, a part of things. This photo was way more popular than I meant for it to be. My friends really, really got onto the train of the fake baby express. And before I knew it, I had fake sonograms coming my way. And a few months later, someone crocheted me a fake baby so that I could walk around with it and just feel a little bit more included. Although I gotta tell you, it doesn't work very well. When I am asked to give my testimony, to be really, really honest with you guys, it's often in the framework of mothers and how I'm not one. I am asked directly or indirectly to frame my story, not necessarily for how I serve, but for what I've missed. Carrie, your time is running out. Life begins when you have a family. Carrie, it's so nice that you have a dog to keep you company since you don't have a family of your own. Deep breaths, deep breaths. I love to share the depths of my life experiences, not within the framework of what others think I should have been or should be. I have so much to share about the joys that God has brought into my life. But I find it's easy to be invisible in plain sight. Folks don't always know quite how to relate to the goodnesses of my story or to even ask about them. So I am instead seen in contrast sometimes to society's story for me. And I suspect I'm not the only one. This is actually where I think me and married folks and parents can really connect. I have friends with kids who feel invisible the moment they have kids. And that's very appropriate. Kids are wonderful and should be a focal point. But our parents need to be nurtured too. They're going without sleep. They have vomit stains on their shirts. They need our nurturing. They need to be seen. Oftentimes, many moms are wondering, not even just how to be seen, but how to find time to get dressed in the morning or the afternoon. I'm with you, and I don't even have kids. Much less how to create a Pinterest-level party for their children. Impossible standards for an impossible job. And forget about friends and hobbies. There can be a weird loneliness, even with the joy and the treasure of kids all day. It can make friends with adults a desired but distant memory. I don't always get the details of that. That's not my experience. But many of us, definitely including me, understand what it means to sometimes be lonely or to feel invisible in plain sight. And there's one big thing about the difficulty of feeling like all of our stories can sometimes be misconstrued or misunderstood or ignored, oftentimes in light of someone else's expectations for us. Another big thing that keeps us from seeing each other is someone else's anxieties about how your life is going. What do I mean by that? For me, honestly, it's when people try to matchmake me with extremely inappropriately older men who have pulses but don't necessarily have jobs. They're probably very nice people, but I find that the matchmaking condition is more about the other person's anxieties for my life. But only one of us is really scared or worried about being alone. And that fear is a wall between them, my friends, and me. This fear is a story about shoulds. But I get it, guys, because I confess to you that I feel this panic myself when I talk to one of my best friends who has 4 boys under the age of 7 years old. And no family close by, no nanny. I just feel panic just saying the sentence out loud. She is one of my closest friends. She has dreamed of being a mom her whole life. She loves it. But I still have trouble seeing her past my own confusion about what her life must be like. I can hardly imagine it. I just can't see her path. It's so in contrast to mine. What would I even ask her exactly if I really wanted to know how she was doing? The truth is that we often want to see each other, but instead of being seen for who we are, instead of what we are not, we get caught up in the shoulds, right? In the shoulds of our stories, or the distance between your story and my story. And it keeps us in that invisible, in plain sight place. But before this gets too depressing, I have good news. Our stories don't matter. Okay, that does sound depressing, but bear with me. Our stories don't matter. With a closer look, what I notice about this 1 John passage is the word receive. It doesn't say if we tell, if we share, if we announce our human testimony in competition with God's. It says if we receive human testimony. That's not the word I usually see paired with testimony. What does it even mean to receive testimony, really? Psalm 1 says that people, that happy people, delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. What strikes me about this idea is it doesn't say happy are the people who have the best stories to tell, who have the right amount of children, who see the right amount of countries, who know the most information. It doesn't say happy are the people whose accomplishments are second to none. And it definitely doesn't say if you have the most intricately decorated cupcakes at your children's birthday party, the quietest kids in the service, or kids at all. Having it together doesn't appear to be required for happiness. Whew, thanks be to God. Because, you know, if we have anything in common, I'm willing to bet it's that we don't have it together. That's good news for moms and dads and folks like me. I did think that motherhood was where it was at, and I still do. But it hasn't been in the cards for me just yet. And feeling lonely and invisible in plain sight has left me to look to God and say, well, that was my plan and society's plan. What do you have in mind? What do you have in mind? What's your story? Because I'm listening and I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive. Psalm 1 says, happy are people who delight in the law of the Lord. They meditate on it day and night. They're in love with God. interesting how they don't seem worried about themselves in this metaphor. They're not interested in competing with anybody or following a certain cultural expectation. They're transformed by God, accepting God's love, receiving the gift that is Christ in and among us, encountering our story through awe in God's story. We are full when we are paying attention to God's story. Our stories come alive when we spend our time in the light of God's story, particularly in the redeeming and death-conquering love of Christ Jesus. With God, we don't just express our story. We are transformed, and then we get to express what we have received. When I surrendered to participate, not in my own story, but in God's, I have cried tears of joy again and again at the abundance God has surprised me by giving me in quiet moments with God, in adventures across the world, and in getting to serve God in ways I could not have ever imagined. Exhibit A. But God has given these joys to me independently of what I thought my story should be and whatever I bought into before. Forsaking the anxieties of constructing my own story in God's lens, in God's story, I can then see my neighbors better and clearer and with love. I have the energy and the clarity to do so. That wall, that division of fear and confusion and competition, it melts away. Better still, God's narrative frees us to support one another, to really stop to see one another. Our very lives become united in Christ. Because we may or may not be moms or dads, career women or career men, both or neither, but we are sisters and brothers who take up our cross, whatever that cross looks like. And we celebrate as we receive joy under God's nurturing wing throughout our lives. We are God's offspring. We are beloved children of God and united as beloved children of God. Our stories play out not in our broken, messed up narratives for ourselves, but in God's greater narrative for us. And what is the word for chasing after God's story with all of who we are? It's faithfulness. Faithfulness looks like so many different things in the body of Christ. I imagine even among this room. God's story is a testimony of diversity across time and geography and culture. We need variety in the kingdom of God, y'all. My story and your story, Paul's story, Hannah's story in scripture, a soldier in World War II, a Mount Everest climber, a school teacher, moms, and this very church family, all united. Because what unites us as life is never what we think it'll be. It's always about being transformed rather than performing for a human-made script. We are united in the fullness of life that encounters us in Christ. And what happens when we put in control that which conquered death is we are spilling over with eternal life. My testimony without Christ is a pointless competition where she who dies with the most toys or money or best job or degrees or airline tickets or the least amount of cats still never wins. My testimony and our testimony in Christ together is a story of being broken and still experiencing wholeness. It's a story of being lost, and then God found us. It is a story of being given sight in moments where we cannot see each other. And suddenly, we see one another as simply beloved children of God. Testimonies with Christ are stories of being the hands and feet of Christ for one another, stopping to see and trying to understand, not in our own framework and our own lens, but as Christ understands us. With God's help, we find the energy to meet our brothers and sisters where they are and ask, what is it like for you to receive God's testimony in your life? My friend that I told you I'm afraid of that has four boys under the age of seven, when I was in sixth grade and she was in seventh grade, I asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, a mom. And she definitely realized her dream. Overachiever. Check, 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 check. And she's so happy. But sometimes we have difficult conversations. And a recent one, she said, Carrie, I love you. And I want to know all about how your life is, all that you're excited about. But I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to ask you. Our lives are so different. And when she said that to me, it filled me with joy. I felt so honored because she wasn't putting me in her framework or in anybody's framework. She just lifted me up and said, what is it like in your life experience to receive God's love? And when I get to ask that of her, it makes my life richer and God's testimony greater. As we close in prayer, I'm going to leave some space for us to consider some of the questions I ask in the prayer. Just a couple of pauses. I promise it's not that I'm falling asleep. I'm leaving some space for you to see what God might have to say to you. So if you're a journaler, feel free to write. But let's pray together. Loving God, help us to see, what does my story look like without Christ? Loving God, help us to see, what does my story look like with Christ? Loving God, how can you help us see others in light of your story, your kingdom? God, we have a common testimony of a full life in Christ together. Help us remember we are in your sight, in the care of your story. We're ready to be in awe as we participate in the story of your kingdom with the burdens we bear and the joys we celebrate in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.